Each year, sick people are told they have diseases so rare they can't be diagnosed. Investigators at the National Institute of Health looked at hundreds of cold cases. They've created a new network to tackle these mysterious diseases. The Undiagnosed Diseases Network will recruit doctors to conduct research that planners hope will lead to better understanding of these puzzling symptoms and to find treatments. Six universities around the country have signed on, and for more on this new effort, we turn to NIH Program Director Dr. William Gall. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. So tell us about this Undiagnosed Diseases Network. First of all, how extensive is the problem?
Well, it turns out that there are thousands of people who have undiagnosed diseases because there really are thousands of diseases that haven't been discovered yet, you know, for one thing. And then there are some very rare disorders that a lot of physicians don't see very often, so don't recognize. So it's a pretty extensive problem. And this was recognized by the NIH about 2008 when it was decided to try to bring together a program that would help diagnose patients who didn't reach a diagnosis and also discover new disorders so that we could increase our diagnostic armamentarium.
So what is the NIH doing then? It's bringing together people from different universities, and what will they do?
Well, this was a program that really started here at the NIH and the campus in Bethesda in 2008. And over the last 6 years, we've seen about 750 patients with disorders that are undiagnosed. But now the program is expanding to different centers around the country. And there are six of them that have been chosen as clinical sites. And in addition to that, there's a coordinating center for handling the data and then a sequencing center as well.
What's a sequencing center?
Well, the sequencing center is intended to determine the next generation sequencing of patients who come to us and their families. That is, the patients who come to any of these centers. So it's one center at a university that will do the exome sequencing or the genome sequencing to determine the DNA sequence of patients, because that is where the abnormal genes might be found.
All right. So if someone then, say someone's a doctor or they're a researcher or a research physician, and they come across something they don't know what it is, what's the first step in finding out whether I, the doctor, simply don't know what it is or nobody knows what the disease is?
Well, generally there's referral to a tertiary care center, like a medical center at a university of some sort, and most of our patients have actually been through that process already, maybe at more than one tertiary medical care centers of universities. And then they can apply to our undiagnosed diseases program and be essentially vetted through our consultants here, and if they're accepted, they come to the NIH for a week. Now, in the future, with this network, they would be coming to one of the other centers as well. That is, either one of the other centers or the NIH. There would be a total of seven such centers then.
And so these centers then will have what you're calling doctor detectives on board. And what will they do?
They'll get together and do a series of tests that is really essentially not limited by insurance requirements. In other words, requirements for insurance permission or approval, and talk about the cases, and then do extensive research studies, including what we would call next generation sequencing or genetic studies that will perhaps detect mutations in certain genes. And those genes may be genes that are already known to cause rare diseases, or they may be genes not associated with a human disease that are part of our discovery program.
So this is different from, say, looking at infections, which are not really genetic because they're something external. This is looking at things that might be internal to a person, sort of programmed into them, that would cause a disease that's very rare.
That's true. It could be in their DNA, for example. But I would say that some infections are caused by disorders that are in our DNA, too. In other words, an increased susceptibility that we're born with. So we wouldn't eliminate the possibility of seeing patients who have an increased tendency towards infections.
We're speaking with Dr. William Gall. He's the head of the Mystery Disease Program, the director there at NIH. Give us an example of the type of disease or the type of symptoms that might have gone through the medical system such that they have landed, that the person has landed at the NIH. What are some of the kinds of things you see?
Well, we have a couple of them that have been now published. One as a new disease. It was a group of siblings, that is brothers and sisters, five of them from Kentucky, who had calcification in their large arteries below their waist. So that would be the femoral, they're called the femoral and the popliteal arteries. And this prevented good blood flow down to their feet, so it hurt them a lot when they walked. And it turns out that we discovered this as a new disorder, a new gene associated with a disease that essentially prevented the system around the cells of those blood vessels from stopping calcification. And so the calcification proceeded. And by the time these folks were in their 50s or so, they had some really big-time problems with walking. And this was really pretty interesting because the people who study the calcification of blood vessels had not seen that before, and so it added to our knowledge of how calcification occurs, especially in blood vessels.
And so when you find the genetic basis of something like that, does that make it curable at that point, or you just simply know more about it?
Well, we certainly know more about it. It doesn't necessarily make it curable, but once you know the mechanism, and the genetics can often reveal the mechanism, then you have a chance to intervene in that pathway and stop the progression of the disorder. And in fact, in that particular case, we are trying a therapy that is really inspired by our knowledge of what the pathway problem is.
And so what about diseases that have come back into circulation that people thought were eradicated a long time ago? Does that qualify for this network, or is that just a matter of doctors not having been of a generation that has seen them?
Well, I think that most of those things will be infectious diseases, the ones that have been solved and then come back again. But it's also true that those disorders have diagnoses, so we probably would not be involved in that because this is an undiagnosed disease program.
And also, you're naming some of these syndromes, and who gets to name it, and how do you come up with what the name is?
Well, that's an interesting issue, as it turns out. You know, people don't often put their names on these disorders anymore. They want them to be more descriptive. So, for example, that calcification disease, the defect is in a protein called CD73. So we call the disease arterial calcification due to deficiency of CD73, or ACDC. Now, when we put that in the medical journals, they didn't want to call it ACDC.
You might have a copyright problem with the band.
Yeah, well, that might be part of it. But then after we published it, and in subsequent articles, we were able to call it ACDC. So that's how that name came to be part of our medical nomenclature.
Now, I've read about people where, like, their certain tissues turn to bone. Is that something that's part of this program, or is that the ACDC syndrome, or are we talking about something else?
Well, ACDC is a little bit like that, a little bit, because there's calcium in the vessels. But there are other disorders in which, for example, muscle will turn to bone. And if we saw something like that, and it was not recognized to be the known genetic disorder that causes that, which is called the fibromyalgia ossificans, if it's not that, we would be interested in seeing something like that, yeah.
I guess everyone would like to see something where maybe fat would turn to muscle, but that they'd want to get that one probably, huh?
We did have a patient who had increased muscle mass, but it wasn't good. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't turning fat to muscle. It was just that the muscle was increasing enormously when it shouldn't. And actually, it was in a woman. And it didn't make her any stronger, really. It made her just a little weaker and more stressed, and it hurt a little bit. So those types of things happen, and they're really mysteries for how medicine can address abnormalities like that. So it really reveals something when we find out why that would occur.
All right, so getting back to the Undiagnosed Diseases Network, there's funding for this, and how will that work and going forward in the next few months?
Well, the extramural part of the NIH is giving money to universities to run programs like the one that we've run here at the NIH for the last 6 years. And so there are these six clinical sites that will be seeing the patients, and then there's the coordinating center that will take the data, and then the sequencing center is providing service. And all of that is being supported by money from the National Institutes of Health.
And so how many people a year can get into the NIH itself at your campus for undiagnosed diseases?
We accept about 130, maybe 150 a year here, and see them for about a week. And each of the other sites is going to see a smaller number to begin with. Actually, in the first year, 10 each. In the second year, 25 each. And in third and subsequent years, 50 each.
And so, though, is there the sense at NIH, from your standpoint, that your capacity is insufficient for how big the problem actually is?
I think that's a good way of putting it. But it's also true that there's some benefit to having, let's say, centers in closer proximity to some of the patients, and also to get the benefit of all the knowledge that all these other physicians at major universities will have.
All right. Well, we'll have to revisit that and see how it's going in another few months. Dr. William Gall is the program director for the Undiagnosed Diseases Network at the National Institutes of Health. Thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you for interviewing me.